Jeff and I are thrilled to welcome Tarek Hadhad, founder and CEO of Peace by Chocolate, on the Pivot podcast today. Tarek, how are you?
I'm doing great, my friend. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great. Great to have you. Tarek, I've been looking forward to sitting down with you to have a conversation for quite some time, and I've been quietly rooting for you and your family from afar because I've been fascinated by your story. For the benefit of those who may not be familiar with your family's story and the origins of Peace by Chocolate, would you mind sharing how you got to where you are?
Absolutely. So I am Tarek Hadhad. I am the CEO of Peace by Chocolate in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Our family has a long tradition of making chocolate since coming from Syria. In 1986 was the origin when everything started in Damascus. As the origin of the factory, the idea, the passion, and because my father really wanted to do something different and to make sure that chocolate is a way to communicate great messages to community, like between love, kindness, compassion, and support of others. So the factory grew really quickly in Syria, but unfortunately it was bombed by an airstrike in the Syrian war in 2012. Led our family to flee the country. We became refugees in Lebanon for 3 years until Canada opened the doors for us. To be honest, Canada was the only country in the world that opened the doors for us. So we were really one of the lucky ones to arrive in Canada late 2015. My family arrived in 2016, and we started the company here in Antigonish, Nova Scotia, just to rebuild what was lost in the war and to frame the company in a way that speaks a lot to Canadian consumers and Canadian supporters from coast to coast to coast. The goal was to not have a business, but really build a cause and share our messages that Peace by Chocolate is there to reflect on peace by our daily conversations, by our daily actions. Because without peace, no one can go to work, no one can build businesses, you cannot raise kids, you cannot do anything without peace, and we cannot record this interview without peace as well.
Mm. Tarek, you'll appreciate that as bankers, we've had to have many difficult conversations with business owners during the pandemic about, you know, the challenges that they faced in navigating the complexities and the uncertainty that surrounds them. Now, that being said, having heard you just speak, I haven't spoken to any whose businesses were bombed and were forced to flee their country because of war. I mean, these are considerable challenges, and yet here you are. I read that you recently won the 2021 EY Entrepreneur of the Year Award for Atlantic Canada. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
If I may ask you, and please try not to be humble for a moment because I know you are by nature, but can I ask you what you feel is different about you that has enabled you to be successful despite what many would consider to be insurmountable obstacles?
Well, I truly believe that coming to Canada as a newcomer is an advantage by itself, because you arrive here with fresh set of eyes. You know, you arrive here knowing that you just landed to contribute, to give back to the country, to rebuild something. And the difference is we have the feeling we don't have a way back to our homeland. And that's the difference, you know, between being a refugee or being an immigrant who chose by the circumstances to just come to Canada to rebuild a life for a better future for themselves and their families. And that's not the case for refugees, because we do not have the option to really go back or to rebuild anything anywhere else. So we have one shot and we have to take it. So being in Canada has been that, lucky ticket for us. It was our way to rebuild what was lost. And for me, coming from an entrepreneurial family, that certainly was a great asset as well, because my background is in medicine. So I was not part of the business in Syria, and I had to learn a lot of things since coming to Canada with the great support of friends. I don't take credit for anything at all. You know, there's been a great network of people around me that they have been very supportive from, everyone in Antigonish who has welcomed our family, who has donated to bring our family without knowing us. Everyone from our the marketing team who supported us, and this is marketing, everyone from our neighbors who was there for us to bring us, everything we needed in the beginning, because we arrived in the middle of the winter and we knew how cold it could be, and everyone was just giving us that such warmth And with that warmth, we felt that we are welcomed and we are part of the country. So, we have been really lucky and fortunate to be in a small town like Antigonish as well. And that contributed to the success is because if we have arrived in a big city like Toronto or Vancouver or Montreal, I think our chances for success would have been still there, but it would have taken us a longer time because we could have been treated as numbers. No one, if you walk on Bay Street in Toronto, no one would know that you are a newcomer, right? Because everyone is busy there. No one would notice you. But the funny fact is we are not on Bay Street in Toronto, but we are on Bay Street in Antigonish. So, that such difference made our journey possible because we restarted again making chocolate in the home kitchen after 1 month of landing here. So it was really, really amazing to see that the chances and the possibilities are really limitless for newcomers. And to be honest, no one asked us for anything. We were treated like Canadian citizens, except we couldn't vote when we arrived at the airport. We had every single right, like every other Canadian, the right to access healthcare, employment, support, travel across the country with no, restrictions before the pandemic. All of that was what great contributor to our success. So I certainly don't take credit for any of that success. I have to be humble, because nothing really happened because only of me. It was only because we are in a great community that cares a lot about us, and we now have them as our big family.
Well, I've been to Antigonish, and I've seen inside the building that houses the room where you and your father started, essentially resurrecting the family chocolate business that you started in Syria. And I couldn't help but marvel that it is a room the size of a small bedroom, if that's fair to say. It's not very big. And I know the people of Antigonish, Nova Scotia, have supported you and your family business from day one. And I was just wondering what that support has meant to you then and what it means to you now as you look to the future and lead the growth of Peace by Chocolate. I mean, you have plans to grow this thing. What does that mean to you?
Absolutely. That support has been the main inspiration for me, for my family, because at some point when we have survived the war, we have lost our faith in humanity. At some point we just see everything dark. You wouldn't really see the light at the end of any tunnel, because this is the life that we had to live for like 3 years. There is no chance for us to go back to Syria. There's no chance for us to restart our lives fully or to even get any other citizenship around the world. So the inspiration came originally from Canada, came originally from Nova Scotia, the community in Antigonish. They are the ones who really ignited that passion in us to restart the business and to contribute to the economy and to, offer jobs and to do whatever was possible. And the other thing I learned from Antigonish is you don't only start a business for profit, right? You don't only start a business for caring about the major principles, the textbook of the CEOs that has been played for a long time. I learned from Antigonish something else called, you don't care only about ROI, the return on investment. You only care as well as a CEO first thing when you wake up in the morning about the ROK, the return on kindness. So you have to care about what is coming back from the kindness towards your community, towards the support of causes that we believe in as a business. And the people, without the care about the people, we wouldn't have Peace by Chocolate. This is the origin. So many businesses around the world right now, when you sit in that boardroom, everyone will be talking about the financial statements and you don't see, that line about kindness. No one really talks about that. Everything people see are margins and, returns and, gross profit, and that's what they made at the end of the year, and no one really talks to shareholders about what could a business do when they care about society, when they care about the environment, when they make good products at the same time. So it doesn't have to be one or the other. You can merge all of those values together. You can make good products, you can care about society, you can care about environment. right? So, you know, you have to make sure that you take these decisions wisely as a business owner, as a CEO, because we are in a time where we are seeing this huge shift in the focus of consumers and the attention that they pay to stories behind businesses. It's not only you now going into a grocery store or going into a gift shop or going online on a website and say, well, I like this product because it just grabbed my attention. You're going to research. People are spending more time than ever researching, you know, and the social media mutation over the past few years has just benefited all of small businesses. Every single business owner now has their own platform to tell their stories. And we are seeing that people are paying more attention than ever. So I truly believe that we are lucky first to be in this community. We are lucky to be in Nova Scotia because our story has gone from Nova Scotia to national, to be a national platform of voices for newcomers and refugees, as well as international phenomena. And for those who maybe have not watched that, the speech that has given us that whole new level for our company. It was a speech by the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau when he went to the United Nations in 2016. And he delivered that speech about our family and our story. He was talking to world leaders. He was talking to President Barack Obama. He was talking to the to Angela Merkel. He was talking about us to the French president. Everyone was sitting there in the room listening to our story. A small town in Antigonish, small town in Nova Scotia called Antigonish, made it not only to national news at that time, made it to the international news. And we started getting calls from everywhere around the globe. We were like, where can I buy your chocolate in Bermuda? Where can I buy your chocolate in Japan? And I'm like, sorry guys, so we cannot ship right now. We were overwhelmed by the support. You know, we opened our website in 2016. On December 5th, it was really close time to the holidays and we were so limited with what we can make. Like every piece of chocolate we were making was already sold a month ago. And it was really amazing to see that. So we opened our website, we made it live, and then within a few hours we had to shut it down. We were getting thousands of orders online. Like who shuts their website down because they are selling too much? Like that was really crazy. So, you know, the inspiration came right from there, you know, when we have seen the amazing spirit of humanity and the power of compassion coming together to advocate for our cause. And that's what continued with us. And if you go on our website, peacebychocolate.ca, you would find that picture of the community coming with us to celebrate every occasion, every anniversary. The grand opening of our factory was something I will never forget in 2017. When we have seen thousands of people drive from everywhere in Nova Scotia, even people came from New Brunswick, from PEI to attend it. And it was something remarkable. I would really never forget it.
Tarek, there were so many things in there, so many amazing things you just said I wanted to expand on and maybe try to unravel. But one thing that really fascinates me is you referred to yourself as fortunate. You spoke about the power of compassion. But you're also in a very unique position, and Marcel alluded to this earlier, a very unique position to have lost everything at one point in your life, and you've rebuilt. I can only begin to imagine how difficult that would be. Can you give us some insight as to how you stay motivated? What do you tell yourself?
I think everything in regards to having passion contributes to your daily contributions to yourself, to your team, to your company, to your cause, your community. And you really don't need that much of power to get up every day and really think, what change can I add to the world? You know, what are the things that I want to see and I want to change in our planet that our kids can really thank me for and can enjoy having a better life than the ones that I had? And the first thing that comes to my mind is I don't have kids now, but my kids in the future, I want them to come to me and say that it was the right cause because they didn't have to live through a war that their dad had to live, that their grandfather had to live. And that really just gets me up every morning, you know, when I open my eyes and I'm like, this is there is no time to waste. Let's get to work. You know, there's no time to waste, because I'm still seeing that humanity is repeating the same mistakes again and again. You know, from countries around the world who are still ravaging wars, people fleeing their home countries. The number of refugees is not decreasing; it's increasing around the world as well. So, this is something that I truly believe contributes to my daily motivation. The other part of it is gratitude. You know, gratitude leads to motivation in many ways. People never really think about it. And having lived through the experiences that I'm so grateful for had led me to think about very basics that people even don't think about. For example, in the morning when you wake up, no one thinks about, oh, we have power today. You know, we have water. I can go get a shower whenever I want. I can just open the fridge and I can find all the food that I just got. I can go to a grocery store. I can buy anything. I can drive. I can walk. I can bike. I can do anything. And I found that Canadians don't think about that. You know, this is something that many people take for granted. For example, even that there was an election a few days ago, and many people were like, yeah, we can vote and we just, but I'm busy. I'm like, so many people are dying around the world to have that right and to exercise their right to vote. So even these simple things really are the ones that keep me motivated. It's like, we are living in a country that we are, you know, one of the G7, one of the G20. Canadians are free to express their opinions, to practice their faith, to do whatever they want. So why don't we be grateful for that? And why don't we think about those people around the world who are fighting for these basics? And I think starting from there, magic can happen. If everyone wakes up every morning thinking about, I am blessed. And I am privileged and I am lucky and I am fortunate to be in a country where I don't have to worry about my basics, then we are in the next level. Then we talk about how do we support those in need around the world? You know, how can we make a difference so our country does not go into war? How can we advance these conversations that nobody else around the world is talking about? For example, when I came into Canada, I just said that and when I became a Canadian citizen last year, I just said I did not just own the country's excellence, but I also owned its mistakes and failures, right? Because we have to think about the positives and the negatives. And that led me to, you know, to start many initiatives. And that was the inspiration behind something else called the Peace on Earth Society that we founded in 2017. It is kind of the social wing of our business where we talk about causes like mental health. We talk about supporting indigenous communities. We talk about supporting refugees arriving in Canada. We talk about supporting LGBTQ plus communities around the world. And, you know, we have been really inspired by the support that we have been giving and receiving from the Canadian Red Cross since 2016 after the wildfires in Fort McMurray in Alberta. Because we knew that as a settled family in Nova Scotia, we had to give back to Canadians, even on the other side of the country, because this country has given us a lot. So, you know, in summary, motivation does not hit you in the bed, right? The motivation asks you to just get out there and share your ideas. And I think it's all about starting with the gratitude that leads to creativity, and that's how you keep going.
As someone who grew up in Canada, I can assure you I do not spend nearly enough time thinking about how grateful I should be that I live here. Now, you kind of touched on a couple things there. I've read a few press releases and things like that and some of your public speeches and all those things, and they're all wonderful. And what really struck me is you've said some truly amazing things about Canada. You've already done so in this podcast. I got one quote here. Canada stands for freedom, opportunity, equality, fairness, and inclusion. And I've always felt this way too. We've spoken to all kinds of guests about why they continue to live in Canada and in particular in Nova Scotia. And we already touched on that in this podcast, but really I'd be very curious, what challenges have you faced since coming to Canada? You know, perhaps as part of the process of coming here or perhaps as part of becoming a citizen. To your point, there's always ways to make things better, and I'm very curious to what challenges you've faced and hope you don't mind elaborating on that.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's all about the mindset in the beginning. Many newcomers first challenges in regards to their integration, to their language, to feeling that they can reach where they want or come back to their careers that they left back home. So many people, they can't get their credentials recognized. Like myself, for example, when I came to Canada, I was just passionate about going back into medicine. And that did not happen because the system in this country is if you come with a degree like medicine, you have to go get reevaluated, maybe do undergraduate degree again. Some people ask you to do high school. It's really challenging. So these were really the first challenges. But then I sat down with myself after 1 month of arriving here and I said, well, I can spend another 10 years trying to get into med school, or I can just start the family business again. And that would be not only for my benefit, for my family's benefit to integrate in this country, and for the society's benefit as well. And it just happened from there. And along the way, there are always bumps, you know, that you have to overcome, to be careful about. But there are two options, you know. If you have a challenge in your life, there are two options. You can sit down and complain about it, or you can dig down and find solutions. So I felt that the second option was much feasible for me. It was more meaningful. And whatever had shown in our way, although I had no clue about registering a business, incorporating a business, you know, even reading a financial statement in 2016, or even, you know, knowing, getting focus groups from Canadians or from potential customers, and, you know, designing packaging or really talking about ingredients lists or making recipes and all of that stuff. And it just had to happen. It just had to be learned. And everything since 2016 has been different. You know, we celebrated in 2020 our, I celebrated in December 2020, my 5th year anniversary of landing in Canada. And it's been a remarkable journey. You know, there are challenges every day that newcomers face, I think can really determine, their future in this country, easily. You know, there are, things starting by the cultural shock. When a newcomer family arrives in Canada after 1 month or 1 year or even 5 years, at some point they will ask themselves the question, what am I doing here? Right? And everyone will have different answers. Everyone will be like, I'm here for a reason. I'm here because I can't go back. I'm here because I decided to come here, and I'm here to be an example. I'm here to give back. So starting from there, many people would reach their own peace. And so many people would be struggling with that for a while, with that question, what am I doing here? And how is that helping me? Or, you know, did I build my network again? Did I build my community, my sense of family again? Do I feel that I belong? Do I feel that I have my identity? All of those questions will come at certain point to newcomers that no one born in Canada has to think about. Right, which is really different than living your entire life here, or being born in Canada and just, you know, becoming or being Canadian by birth. Because being Canadian by birth versus being Canadian by choice are two completely different things. You know, Canadians by choice are facing these questions, and so many lead to greatness. So many of those answers lead to greatness.
Tarek, you're very active on Twitter and other media, and you've spoken about the importance of immigration to Canada's long-term prosperity. Speaking as both an entrepreneur and an immigrant, as you've mentioned, what do you feel we need to improve as a country in order to better support immigrants who want to create opportunities, not only for themselves, but for others, as you have done in Canada?
Well, Canada is doing a fantastic job already to give credit to the IRCC people, you know, the team who's working around the clock now to bring in hundreds of thousands of immigrants every year, make sure that they are settled in very well, that they are integrated, that they are connected to their sponsorship agreement holders across the country, to their community, to their families if they are getting a reunification. So I think Canada has the system that the world is envying. I was in the UK in 2019, and I spoke there on the Parliament, and many people were coming asking us Canadians about, you know, what, how does Canada do this? How do people get connected to their communities? How does even sponsorship work, you know, between a community if they want to come together, form a group of five, and just sponsor a refugee from around the world and apply to the government, and then the connections will happen ultimately. So the system itself is working. I'm not so much in depth about that, but I think that if Canada can focus more about highlighting the benefit for newcomers of being in small communities, not only featuring Montreal or Toronto or Vancouver on these pamphlets on the websites, and telling newcomers that you can have a very happy and successful life in a small town, I think we will create a much more balanced country. For example, in Nova Scotia, you see many newcomers don't know anything about smaller communities. They don't know anything about the rest of Nova Scotia other than Halifax. You know, many newcomers just prefer to arrive and stay there. Many newcomers arrive in small communities and then leave to big cities. So we have seen that in Nova Scotia because many people thought that the opportunity is bigger in a big city, while the difference is this is not entirely true. You know, I've seen even that imbalance is creating so many challenges for the long-term sustainability of these communities, because at certain point you need people for a community to thrive in the first thing, right? Like, you cannot just ask newcomers to stay in a big city, because a community like Antigonish, 5,000 people plus 5,000 university students, you know, there are many challenges in regards to labor, to the labor market, right? When you need people to be hired in your business, and you find that this is really a big issue coming forward because of people just coming and arriving in big cities. So I really believe that Canada has a great role to play in promoting to newcomers that staying in a small community and raising a family can deliver a higher quality life even than living in a big city. I think if you all understand that, that the system would work much better. And I think communities have the same role to play in making sure that newcomers are very, very well integrated. Antigonish has played a really amazing role. I was the first Syrian to arrive in Antigonish in 2015. And my mom called me Neil Armstrong, who arrived on the moon. Like, I was like, you know, that was really interesting for our families. Like, we're arriving and we are starting a Syrian community in Antigonish, and now there are over 20 families. So it was really incredible to see how the community has grown in a short period of time. But that did not come without challenges, without hard work from the community itself. And I truly believe that the immigration people, the immigration team in the country, the federal and the provincial ones, can do a great job as well by letting people know that there is an option for you to stay in a small community, to restart your business, or to study in a university in a small town, and to build your connections there.
Well, it's interesting because some people who I spoke with that I told, you know, you're coming on the podcast shortly, would suggest that your success is, I say this in quotation marks, it's the exception to the rule, that somehow all that you've accomplished is one in a million kind of occurrence. Tarek, what would you say to those people who look at you and think to themselves, well, I'm not sure I could ever face what he faced and make it in the real world? What would you say to those people?
Well, I don't stereotype, you know, I don't generalize either. I don't say, you know, this is what's going to happen. If you arrive, this is your 100% chance to succeed. What we are doing is just we are giving an example. You know, we are telling the people what is possible, and telling them what is possible, and hopefully, you know, giving them a reason to rethink that is enough for me. You know, changing mindsets as well is a big role that I hope that we are playing in the family. I know that I've met many politicians in Nova Scotia either, and who mentioned to me that the approval rates of immigration in Nova Scotia has grown significantly after many families arrived, but also we started a campaign for that in 2016, and I've been really trying to communicate to Nova Scotians that newcomers are here to contribute. And, you know, when I was going through towns, I've been everywhere in Nova Scotia. I've been everywhere, even in the Maritimes, but and across the country. But I felt that people are more approving of something when they see the result, right?
Yeah.
In 2015, when people were like, yeah, let's bring Syrian refugees to Canada, and some people were hesitant about it. You know, when I came to even to Antigonish, someone came to me and he was like, why did you come to our town to take our jobs? And I went to him and I said, well, I did not come here to take jobs. We came here to create them. And that same guy came back to me after 6 months and he was like, well, you were true to yourself and you were right. So, you know, giving people the reason to rethink, their opinions. And where do they stand on the spectrum of supporting other human beings? I think it is a noble thing and we are so proud of it. But at the end of the day, as you mentioned, you know, we might be the exception to the rule. We might not, you know, might be creating our own rules, and every newcomer can create their own rules as well. They don't have, not only a newcomer, but if you are moving from one place to another in the country, you can do everything different. You don't have to follow the rules because sometimes, I think we have these prejudices against, you know, ourselves is, you know, if there is a set of rules, yeah, we cannot do this kind of thing or we cannot start this type of business because we don't have customers. I think the rules are changing very rapidly that no one can keep up. Starting a business is no longer related even to a location because of e-commerce, for example. You don't have to be anywhere. You can do whatever you want. You can sell whatever you want, you know, because this massive opportunity on the internet that just showed up to everyone, and we've seen the benefit of it and the significance of it even after the pandemic. I'm pretty sure you have talked to many entrepreneurs who told you the same, but this is, we are living in a very interesting time. You know, there are many ways. The other thing about, you know, smaller, communities and proving that the other rule, you know, for us, specifically is, you know, you can target a bigger audience from a small place, you know. You can target a national audience. You can target even international audiences from a small space. I think one of the challenges that would be faced is attracting and retaining talent in a smaller place. This can be one of the challenges for sure for businesses if they want to scale up. But as I mentioned, you can sit down and complain or you can dig down and find solutions.
Create your own rules. I really like that. I'm going to start. Maybe I'll write that in my office somewhere, Tarek. I really like that one. You also mentioned earlier about identity and coming in as an immigrant. And while I was preparing for this podcast, just coincidentally, I believed at the time it was unrelated. I read an article on imposter syndrome. You know, the idea that maybe even though you're succeeding and you're doing the things you're doing, that you don't really feel like you're that person or that you've accomplished this or so on and so forth. It's not exactly in the same context, but it got me thinking. You know, not that long ago, you were in Syria training to be, you know, in medicine. All of a sudden, you find yourself in Nova Scotia. The prime minister is mentioning you in a speech on a global scale. You're a sought-after motivational speaker who runs a chocolate company. Does any of this feel real?
That's the question I ask myself every day. It's like, you know, is that real? I truly believe that there are phases in everyone's life where there are turning points, that you cannot see even in the past. You know, I don't believe I'm living in a circle, but I'm living rather in, a square. You know, when I reach the edge to the next phase, I cannot really even look back and see what happened in my previous life because I have to focus on finishing that line to reach the next phase. And certainly using the past experiences in a positive way is something to be considered. But for me, personally, I think the huge shift that we had to take, had not been easy. We as a family has been, you know, have been through a lot of, I think, separation as well from our own reality and our own connection to family members, because we used all to live together in Damascus. My entire family were living all together in one building in Damascus, where we used to have the supper together every Saturday in my grandmother's house, where there was a giant room that can fit 60 of us on a dinner table. Wow. So imagine having to be separated from all of that at once and being asked to leave. And as I mentioned, we are so grateful to be connected now through social media. I think it is a great, great way to reconnect with your family and build even new community around you. But certainly sometimes I don't feel it real, to be honest with you, Jeff. It is hard to believe that even 5 years from now, do I have to make the same decisions, right? Like when you live through that, you would reach a point when you'd be asking yourself, you know, is that the long-term thing? Am I going to do this forever? Or are there going to be another turning point that I have to take and just shift everything? But I think once you reach that level of asking yourself that question, then you are in the right place, because you have to build that foundation of thoughts and opinions and base and faith that has to support you for the long run, not only on a short-term focus, but also focusing on what's coming next and how can you use what you have learned in a short period of time to fuel your growth for the future. So I always ask myself, you know, the questions is, what am I grateful for? What am I proud of? And what are the things that I look forward to? Right. And whenever I ask myself these questions, I think I set myself into personal goals and dreams that I have to keep focused on.
Maybe we can move back on something that it ties into what you just said. You know, what do you expect yourself from the future? But I want to know more about the Peace on Earth Society. And can you give us a sense of what you're trying to accomplish with this organization?
Absolutely. So the Peace on Earth Society is an organization that we started in 2017. It was mainly because we in the business decided to donate proceeds of our and portions of our profit every fiscal year to support different causes. Plus, we wanted to have permanent partnerships. So if you go on our website, you would see under the Peace on Earth Society page that we have partnered with many organizations like the Canadian Mental Health Association, where we have designed a chocolate bar called the Peace of Mind. You know, we have designed chocolate bar called Welcome to Canada, where proceeds go to Refugee Hub to support the resettlement of refugees and supporting all their needs across the country. We have partnered with, you know, many Indigenous communities and particularly the community of Pukenkik near our town of Antigonish through a program called NITAP, which means buddy in Mi'kmaq, to support activities in their communities. At the same time, you know, we have started supporting Phoenix Youth programs in Halifax throughout our Pride Bars. We support Red Cross throughout our Nova Scotia collection after the mass shooting that happened in Nova Scotia, and we felt that we had to support the Nova Scotia Strong campaign. So we created that chocolate bar to support that cause in the beginning. So many of our products actually are dedicated already to different causes. And you would see that this is a unique way to do it. We are figuring out now the bigger picture for our Peace on Earth Society, where how do we connect the society to the global peace on a more in-depth level. You know, we have to ask ourselves coming forward, you know, as I mentioned, the society is now 4 years old. We have been lucky that we have got a lot of support from people. We have got a lot of great feedback that people are willing to learn more, to be involved. We have not really been able to accomplish do any events or organize any of the targeted goals because we had a lot planned already last year and this year, but we had to cancel. But I feel really that we have a great chance to support a lot of those causes. At the same time, I think many people don't know that we have made a commitment in 2019 through a partnership with an organization called Tent Partnership for Refugees. And I really encourage all private sector leaders to connect with Tent Partnership, see how they can support refugees, hire refugees, support businesses started by refugees. Our business, we committed to hire 50 refugees within the next few years. We have committed to support 10 businesses started by refugees in mentoring, and we have committed to support 4 businesses started by refugees in distribution by the end of next year. So we have been really lucky to connect with many amazing refugee entrepreneurs across the country to amplify their voices, to tell the world what they are capable of, that they are human beings who came to Canada like our family. They lost everything in the war maybe, but they did not lose their talents and their skills, because this is something you don't lose in a war.
There's so many things here, Tarek. I almost feel overwhelmed by the amount of great things we've discussed in this podcast. We've had you for over 40 minutes already now, and I really appreciate your time. I just want to come back to a little bit of where we started to end the podcast. Marcel said, you know, he's been watching you from afar, and me and I think every Nova Scotian has been feeling the same, who has been following your story. It's just remarkable what you guys have all been able to accomplish here. Now, I asked earlier about imposter syndrome, and what's kind of funny is part of the reason I asked that is because to me it feels like almost like an imposter syndrome that I'm having this discussion with you right now in that similar idea, because I could not have foreseen this ever taking place. I try to end these podcasts on a positive note, and I hope I'm able to do this here with our final question. What I'd be really interested in hearing from you, given how positive you are, given the fact that you've been able to survive and thrive in a remarkable climate, do you have a message for those still living in Syria, or perhaps with family in Syria who I'm sure spend a tremendous amount of time worrying about their loved ones? Do you have a message of hope, perhaps?
Absolutely. You know, I think it is really important to mention to whoever is struggling around the world, whether they are in Syria, whether they are outside of Syria, to always remember that you have a great chance of changing the cycle of your life. You know, we are just one example of too many. I think we are a result of our hopes and our dreams. Our today is a result of our hopes and dreams. So I think as long as people are hopeful, I don't know, I cannot guarantee how long it will take, but there are always better days ahead. And I'm pretty sure everyone can relate to that. There are always ups and downs. There are always, you know, points where you think, yes, I have reached the lowest of lows, but there are always as well great ways to adjust, adapt, to restart again, to refuel your growth, to feel that there's something bigger is going to happen to you. So I truly believe to say to all of those newcomers and refugees, keep believing, keep dreaming, keep being hopeful and keep being optimistic. I am pretty sure that kindness is limitless, and there are people around the world who are there for you, although you don't know them, although they don't know you. But at some point you guys will connect. And I truly hope that within our collective efforts as human beings to support causes that mean a lot to people around the world, we can do the impossible. I'm in Canada because of a very kind act of a cab driver in Lebanon, who really told me about coming to Canada. And without that 5 minutes that I had to talk to him, I wouldn't have been here. You know, he mentioned to me about the scholarship at the embassy. I applied to it, and that's how I connected to come here. So I may never meet him again. That small act of kindness may never be paid back to the same man, but I'm trying to pay it forward to other people around the world. And, you know, these small acts of kindness are everywhere. So that's really what gives me hope. You asked me earlier about my motivation. That's another reason for motivation and for being hopeful every day that I would like everyone to listen to and share.
Listen, thanks so much, Tarek.
That was really amazing. Thank you so much for having me and for all the questions. And I hope that I have really helped other people about their own perspective. And you know, at the end of the day, no one can go back and start a new beginning, but everyone can start today and make a new ending.
Thank you, Tarek. Really appreciate it.